Good morning, Cascaders. And maybe good afternoon to you Cascaders who are watching live stream, or maybe it's in the evening. But I am so excited to be here and to see so many people. It's been a long time. And it's a really privilege for me to share from God's holy word. This morning we're going to be talking about a psalm, Psalm 118. And we're going to go through the psalm, and we're going to investigate it, we're going to study it, and we're going to find out what is there in Psalm 118 that will help us, encourage us, stimulate us in our Christian walk. So if you've got your Bibles there, would you like to turn with me to Psalm 118? And if you haven't got your Bibles, it's up on the screen, and I'm going to try to read it the way I like to see the Bible read, even though I can't usually do it. But anyway, we're going to have a great time this morning. Psalm 118, verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let all Israel repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let Aaron's descendants, the priest, repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let all who fear the Lord repeat, his faithful love endures forever. In my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is for me, so I have not to fear. The Lord is for me, so I will not fear. That is so important. We're going to be talking a lot about that this morning. The Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can mere man do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. Verse 8, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in people. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Though hostile nations surround me, I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. Yes, they surrounded and attacked me, and I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. They swarmed around me like bees. They blazed against me like crackling fire, but I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. My enemies did their best to kill me, but the Lord rescued me. Verse 14, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. The strong right hand of the Lord has done glorious things. The strong right hand of the Lord is raised in triumph. The strong right hand of arm of the Lord has done glorious things. I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. The Lord has punished me severely, but he never let me die. Open for me the gates where the righteous enter, and I will go in and thank the Lord. Verse 20. These gates led to the presence of the Lord, and the godly entered there. I thank you for answering my prayers and giving me victory. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Please the Lord, please serve us. Please, Lord, please give us success. Blessed the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Verse 27, the Lord is good, shining about us, taking sacrifice and binding it with cords at the altar. You are my God. I will praise you. You are my God. I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. May the Lord add a blessing to the public reading of Scripture. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we ask in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus to come in by the working of your Holy Spirit and to teach us today. Take my fumbling words and use them for your honor and glory, Heavenly Father, whether it's here in house or out there in the live stream areas. Lord, we pray that you might bless these words. Bless this message. Use this message for your honor and glory, and we will certainly praise you and thank you for it. Amen. Yes, what a wonderful, wonderful psalm. And I love verse 6. Faith over fear. It says in verse number 6, the Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? And another version says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? What a wonderful verse. Yes, this Psalm 118 is a messianic psalm, which we'll talk about as we go along. But as an introduction, I want to bring you to that day, that resurrection day. The risen Christ met two disciples on the way to Emmaus. And it says in the Bible that from Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them the things concerning himself. As a result, the whole outlook changed on these two disciples. And I trust as we look in Psalm 118 this morning that your whole outlook will change, that we will be driven to praising God. You know, in Luke 24, 32, it says, they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as we talked with him on the road and expounded the Scriptures? Jesus expounded the Scriptures. And I trust this morning that the Holy Spirit, not I can't do it, but the Holy Spirit can expound the Scriptures. And you know, in the evening, in the upper room, Jesus appeared to the gathered disciples and said in Luke 24, 44, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms, and that's where we are. We're in the Psalms. We want to learn about Jesus. We want to learn about who he was, what he does, what he was thinking about. There's approximately there's about 16 messianic psalms. Some people feel there's more. I don't know if there is. I think there's about 16 or 17. And the book of Psalms is quoted more by Christ than any other book in the Old Testament. Some of the psalms quote just parts of Jesus' life. Others completely. You know, it is the only time in Scripture, and I didn't really realize this. You can check me up on this. Give me a phone call, an email, a text message. But I believe this is the only time in Scripture I find that Jesus sang. I'm sure you've seen it. I've seen it maybe, but I really didn't come to that realization. And do you know what everybody says, the commentaries? I'm not talking about Tom, Dick, and Harry. I'm talking about credible commentaries say that in the upper room at the Passover feast, at the Last Supper, when the Lord told us what to do, which we're going to do later on, do this in remembrance of me, they sang this psalm. So this psalm is so important and so relevant to knowing and trusting who Jesus Christ is. Now, you know, it's interesting that the psalm must have been impregnated on the mind of Jesus in that last week of his public ministry. It is referred four times. Yes, four times. This psalm is referred four times by Jesus. I mean, Jesus knew the psalms. I wish I knew the psalms like Jesus knew them. And that's why we're here to study it, so we can maybe work towards that goal. And when we're with him in heaven, Won't it be wonderful when we can ask them some of those wonderful questions about the Psalms that we love so well? But so the first mention of this at his public presentation at the temple. In Matthew 21, verse 9, Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessed on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heavens." So Jesus mentions this, and we find it in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, and we find it in the New Testament. Now, the second time was the parable of the vineyard. In Matthew 21:42, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you ever read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see.'" So here are quotes from Psalm 118 in Matthew by Jesus. And if Jesus quoted the Psalms, how much more should we be quoting the Psalms? We should be studying the Psalms, and we call ourselves Christians, and we should try our best to memorize. Now, the third time, it was his lament over Jerusalem, and we find that in Matthew 23:39. "For I tell you this, you will never see me again until you say, 'Blessed on the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the third time that Psalm 118 is quoted in the New Testament. And the fourth time, it was here sung as a hymn in the Last Supper. So this is a very important psalm, and it's very important to realize that this was evermost on the mind of the Lord. Also in Acts chapter 4:11, Jesus, for Jesus is the one referred to the scriptures where it says, "The stone that your builders rejected had now become the cornerstone." So these four verses, which we're going to look up here now, that we use so often in our everyday conversation. First is, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. His love endures forever." Psalm 118, verse 1. What a wonderful verse. Let's look at, there's three more. "This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice in it and be glad." Psalm 118, verse 24. How many times do we say that? And we even sing the psalm, "This is the..." Oh, we won't sing it now because I think the people in the back would turn me off. So, but anyway, the third one, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." Verse 14. These are so relevant. These are so practical, these verses. And then, of course, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, for he has blessed you out of the house of the Lord." These are wonderful verses, aren't they? I revel in this. Now, some people say, "Well, why did I choose this song? And what is a messianic psalm?" Well, when Alex asked me that in the month of July and August that we're going to be talking about psalms, he says, "Choose whatever one you want for the 11th and the following week." Well, I went straight to the messianic psalms. Why? Because they talk about Jesus. Yeah. I love these psalms, as I said, 16 or 17 of them. So the question may be asked, what is a messianic psalm? How can we recognize a messianic psalm? Well, the answer would be where there is reference to the Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, in a psalm. And it applies to Christ and expounds in the New Testament. Now, some whole psalms are messianic. For instance, Psalm 22. The whole psalm talks about Jesus. Some have only a paragraph, like in Psalm 46 to 10. Some only have several verses, and some have a single verse. But it is obvious that some of the psalms are occupied entirely with the person and the thoughts and the feelings of our Lord, while others clearly refer to the writer or some incident in that particular time of history. So that's why we're looking at this week and next week two psalms that are messianic that talk about Jesus. Now, There's many charts, and I was going to put up a bunch of different charts up here and try to impress you with charts and charts and charts, but I couldn't come up with a chart. But I did come up with 3 points. Introduction, 3 points, conclusion, application. So I'm hoping that will go over well this morning or this afternoon or this evening or tomorrow whenever you look at this on live stream. So I'm going to look at the outline of Psalm 118. And there's really only 3 parts. Are you ready for them? 3 parts if you're making a note. The first part, 3 groups are called to praise God, verses 1-4. And we're going to expound on that. But we're going to show you the 3 first. Okay, the first, 3 groups are called to praise God. Then we're going to talk about the historical outline of Israel's suffering through the centuries, climaxed by the Great Tribulation, verses 5-18. Exciting. We're not going to spend too much time on that, but we're going to look at it, and you can continue studying it at home. And the third one, and the very important, is the final deliverance of the, the next one is the historical, and then we're going to final deliverance of the Messiah appearing. So really, there's 3 of them. You got them? Good. Let's go through them and see what God has for us here. 3 groups called to praise the Lord. Now, what are those 3 groups? Well, look in your Bibles there. Look in your Bibles there, verses 1-4. It starts to left. All Israel repeat, His faithful love endures forever. So all of Israel, the whole people of Israel, the whole nation of Israel is encouraged to praise the Lord. You with me? That's what it says in the Bible. What's the second group? The second group, number 2 group, is let Aaron, descendants, the priest, repeat. So this is the second group. But the one that applies to every one of you here that know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, it applies to me, and I put some of your names on here, and if I didn't put your name on here, there wasn't room. But you know, it says in the Bible, in here, let all who fear the Lord repeat. So that means you, Ian. That means Jonas. That means myself. That's Alex, Gloria. That means Jonathan. It means all of us who fear the Lord. We are to repeat. What are we to repeat? We are to repeat His faithful love endures forever. So can you get more practical than that? We are encouraged. Here, let all who fear the Lord repeat, His faithful love endures forever. What a privilege we have, and what a responsibility. We are called not just to say, Lord, I need this, or Lord, I need that, or Lord, I want this, or Lord, I want to go there. No, the Bible here says, let us praise the Lord. His faithful endures forever. So that's the first point. Let's look at the second point. Historical outline of Israel's suffering, verses 5-18. And we're not going to spend that much time on it. But you know, the history of the anti-Semitic, the people against the Jewish people, is long and sad and tragic one. I mean, we have Pharaoh, we have Amalek, we have Nebuchadnezzar, we have Herod the Great, we have the Caesars, we have Hitler, Stalin, have all tried to wipe out the Jewish nation. And now we have the Arabs. They've all tried to. But you know, this passage talks about that verse between 5 and 18. And you can read that and you can study it. And you can see how the Lord does deliver and will deliver His people. Just like He will deliver you and I. If we continue obeying in the Lord and believing what the Bible says, He will help you and He will help me in our distress. And we're going to look into that. You know, the Bible says, in my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere man do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. Dear brothers and sisters, this is written to you and I, and this is true. The Lord is with us. I've known Him for over 60 years, and He's been so faithful. Now, I haven't always been faithful, I have to confess, but He has been faithful. Sometimes I've turned to the left, and sometimes I've turned to the right, but he's always there with me. So what should I fear? These are relevant verses for us today. Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me, and he'll help you in your situation. I don't know what you're going through. I know we're seeing a little bit of the light at the end of the tunnel in the pandemic, but there's still a lot of problems out there. But the Lord is with us, and we just have to realize that and come to that realization. And then we have the final deliverance by the appearing of the Messiah. This section has been called the precious messianic jewel. In all of the writings I read and messages I heard, that word came up, a precious messianic jewel. One of the last three or four days before Calvary, the mind of our Lord seemed to dwell on this great passage. That's why it's so important, Psalm 118. And he girded himself, he planned, he organized. Through reading this psalm and quoting this psalm, he was preparing himself for Gethsemane and Golgotha. And there are six items here. And we're going to look at some of these items in this passage here in verses 19 to 29. And I hope that you are applying. First, final decision, deliverance by the appearance of the Messiah. Through three different things. First thing, the opening gates of the city. Notice in verse 19 to 21. Open up the Bibles there, and we'll just look at those 19 to 21. It talks, open for me the gates where the righteous enter, and I will go in and thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. We are called to thank the Lord. That's practical. That's every day. We are for answering our prayers. Did God answer your prayers? Amen. God certainly answers my prayers, and here in this verses we find that God does answer the prayers. So we find that the gate is open to the city. And on Psalm 24, we'll find that very distinct also. Then we find in verse 22 and 23, we find the rejected stone makes the head, made the head. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. He was rejected. He was pushed away. He was crucified. But he has made the head cornerstone. That's our Savior. That's our Lord. So we can rejoice in that. The rejected stone made the head of the corner. We are not to reject him. We are to accept him. And we are called of God to tell others not to reject him, to accept him. And then in verse 24, notice in verse 24, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad. What is he talking about? He's talking about the Day of Atonement. He's talking about a wonderful Day of Atonement, and we are to rejoice. Then we read in verses 25 to 26, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And we're going to talk a little bit about this because these are exciting things happen in the life of Christ that were talked about in the Psalms and shown in the New Testament. And then, of course, we're going to talk about the festal sacrifice. Let's get into it. The final benediction. The opening of the gate of the city. Now, here's what it says in the Bible. It's up there. But in a coming day, the gates of both the city and the temple will be thrown open to the mighty conqueror and will occupy the hills and the houses. Then there will be the gates of righteousness. Open up, ancient gates, and let the King of glory enter. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of heaven's army. He is the King of glory. Are you looking forward to it? I get goose pimples when I think of it. Can't you remember that first time he went through the gates? Everybody was praising him and throwing palm leaves down. But they were so fickle. They changed just like that. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day when those gates will be wide open and the temple gates will be wide open and our blessed Lord will enter in. We also find that in Matthew 21:18, most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessed on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heavens." He entered Jerusalem, was in the uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. "This is Jesus," when he was rejected. Do you remember? Do you remember the story? But there's coming a day, and we're going to be seeing that in a few minutes. There's coming a day when he won't be rejected. And I trust that it's our responsibility, and I trust that we'll do it. Tell others that that day is coming. I love Psalm 24, verse 7. "Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of glory enter." Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, invisible in battle. "Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of glory enter." Who is the King of glory? The Lord of heaven's army. He is the King of glory. That's our Savior. That's who we are to worship. That's why we come together as a community here at Cascades Church, so we can praise God together for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. Yes, this is the day the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. And what they're referring to there was that this was the greatest day of Israel's calendar. It was the Day of Atonement. And it's described in Leviticus chapter 16 and expounded in Hebrews chapter 8. It was a day when sin was confessed and removed by the blood of the sin offering. And what does that bring us to? What does that make you think? What does that make you think of? Well, it makes me think of our Lord when he was hung on the cross and he said, "It is finished." Now, he wasn't finished, but the whole plan of redemption was finished. Jesus was the way to the Father. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And that's how we can go towards, that's the way we can receive to God. It's so exciting to see that and to understand that. This is the time when we'll meet the Lord in heaven because he did the finished work for us on the cross of Calvary. Yes, blessed the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, he's coming again. We used to sing, "Coming again, coming again." Maybe morning, maybe noon, Jesus is coming again. Are you looking forward to it? We see it here in Psalm 118, and we know that it's going to happen. And that is so exciting. And then we think of that city, Jerusalem, and how Jesus cried out in Matthew 23:37, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, the city that killed the prophets and stoned God's messenger." How Christ cried over Jerusalem. He loved Jerusalem. He loved people. He loves us all. And he wants us to come to him. Blessed on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus has come, and we are to go and say, "Yes, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come." The veil has been rent. The veil has been ripped from the top to the bottom. It was the bottom of the top. It was ripped, and that's the main thing. Yes, we read of our Lord being bound five times. Five times. Why was he? When were these times? Well, let's just look at them very quickly because we see that here in the Word of God. We see in verse 27, notice verse 27, "The Lord is God shining upon us. Take the sacrifice and bind it with cords on the altar." That was Christ. We find five times he was bound. He was tied. If it is true, and it is true, that Jesus sang this in the upper room, Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus knew what was in the future. And yet he was willing to go there. But why did he allow himself to be on? In Gethsemane, for instance, in John 18:12, Judas was responsible for this, having betrayed the one who had offended him. Then he was bound by Ananias. Then we find also later on he was bound by the elders and chief priests and Pilate. And then we find that he was bound by Pilate, who took Jesus and scorned him. And the last time, of course, he was bound on the cross of Christ. He was nailed to the cross. Now, why did he do this? Why did he? First, for the love of God. He said, "Not my will, but thine will be done." Jesus went to the cross for you and for me, but also he was bound, as we find in these verses, he was bound to the cross. He was nailed to the cross because he wanted to do the will of the Father, not my will. And if Jesus says that, aren't we supposed to do the same thing? Not my will, but your will be done. It's easy to preach, it's easy to talk about it, but it's not always easy to do. But my prayer is that we as Cascades will do the will of the Father. And he has saved us. And Jesus was bound. He was crucified. All of these different times because of the love of the Father. Then secondly, love for the Word of God, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. That's why he was crucified. That's why he was bound. That's why he was whipped, scourged. And then lastly, it was, of course, and it's a scriptural, "For the joy set before me, he entered the cross." He did it because he knew his Father wanted him to do it. He knew that the Bible told him that it was going to be done, and he did it because he loves you and I. "The joy set before me, he entered, endured the cross." He did that for you and I. And we find that as we read Psalm 118, "Give thanks to the Lord," because he's done that for us. And then, of course, we have the final benediction. "You are my God, I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." Yes, "You are my God, I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." What a psalm, eh? I hope when you get home this evening or this afternoon or whenever you read it, that you'll revel in this psalm and enjoy it. And when we think of this psalm, we think that this Psalm 118 was sung by our blessed Lord. And it says, "And after they sung, they went out." And this was the Passover. This was when he instituted what we are going to do now. So what we're going to do now, we're going to just listen to this Psalm 18 sung by my grandchildren, prepared for you Cascaders in Argentina. And I want you to listen to the words and prepare for worship.